name's Jen Yuchin.
And I'm Ari Fox.
And we're New Gaming News, a bi-weekly podcast and newsletter focused on the esports and gambling industry. The first thing I want to bring up is gambling news. The esports organization, Luminosity Gaming, they partnered with Party Casino Fun, which is like an online, I guess, casino emulator with like slot machine games and things like that. But this particular
game
doesn't have real money.
Right. But it's still like, okay, you know, I'll partner with, I don't really get that. Honestly,
it doesn't really make sense. It's kind of random.
Well, unless
they're like a Canadian organization, and I know this company is Canadian, so maybe they're a little bit more.
Well, actually, I know the owner of EGLX, which is his name is Menashe Ketzenbaum. So and he started EGLX. I don't know, about the same time that I started GameCon, maybe a year or two after. He actually got a lot of investors to start his conference. I think they out of the box, it was a privately funded company where they started this website online, which is a media, covers all of esports, and they claim to be one of the largest esport organizations in the United States and in Canada. Mm-hmm. That is that covers media. They apparently on their website it says that they own seven different esports teams or involved in seven different esports teams. They own like a esports magazine, plus they do an event. You know, they do the EGLX Expo. So, you know, and it's the biggest gaming conference in Canada. That's what they claim. That's their claim to fame. So their sponsor, obviously, I guess this one sponsor came in for the conference and it's like, it's a gamer based thing with a younger demographic. I mean, even if you look at some of their videos, you got a lot of little kids, and I don't understand the Party Casino.fun thing. I mean, it's not for real money, but unless they're trying to work some kind of morph of something going on there, I don't know.
Trying to get that demographic of like esports fans to play this type of game, they're gonna set up like machines at their events and things like that, and then they're gonna put their logo on their jerseys. I think it's obvious that they're just trying to get the younger audience to play traditional, like, gambling-type games. I don't know how that's going to play out, though.
Well, that's like, it's the same move as, like, Betway. That they advertised on an esports team in Germany. I forgot the name of the esports team. But I think it was, maybe it's Fnatic. I'm not sure. Could be Fnatic. I'm not sure. But anyway, Betway did something like that. There's a lot of that dabbling of the casino world trying to market to the esport world. And it's not surprising to me because obviously there is a sort of secret sauce of synergy between the two industries, mm-hmm. which is why I hold the only business to business conference in the world that is talking about it,
yeah.
Sort of bringing both industries to the table. So that's like, you know, I mean, in my opinion, I think it's an interesting move, but I think it's more of an experimental move.
Yeah, that makes sense. Almost like, and it does, like, for the bigger picture, it is a good move for the industry to kind of see how they play together.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, but there are others in the space that are doing it. I mean, they're not the only ones.
No.
I mean, Betway is one. I just mentioned them. Mm-hmm. I think there's another online betting site that does it as well. Not Betway. I can't remember the name.
This particular site isn't even using real money, so it's like it's really outside of the box.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, you know, there's an industry in the casino world called iGaming, which is like internet gaming. So internet gaming basically started where they would offer people the opportunity to play games, and then they would give them prizes. So it wasn't based on money, but they were winning prizes. So that's, you know, what, you know, I think that they're trying to do is they're saying, okay, you know, they're trying to get people hooked on the games that they're offering. And then they're like, it's not for money, but it, you know, you can win prizes. Yeah. So maybe that, you know, it's not a bad idea, but still stretch from my, you know, from what I'm, you know, from what I'm seeing. So
feels weird.
Yeah, very strange. but you're gonna see a lot of weird things. I mean, like we were mentioning before, you know, there's a lot of weird things happening. I think esports as a whole, the industry as a whole,
coming to an identity crisis.
It's having an identity crisis, but it's also at a point where people are really, really scrutinizing numbers.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, what does this mean when you say there's 4 billion gamers in the world? Is that related to esports? So people are really starting to understand it.
Yeah, I saw some inflated Fortnite numbers today, too. It was showcasing, like, how many people were watching the Black Hole event on Fortnite. But I was like, well, how are they really grabbing these numbers? Is it people who just click it? Is it people in-game as well? Well, it's definitely not in-game because it's streaming, because it shows, like, YouTube, Twitch, whatever. But I feel like, how long does it take? I don't know. The numbers just, it just was kind of, like, pointless to me. Who cares how many people are watching the Black Hole event?
Exactly.
Those are random.
Right, I think that generally, I think what we're looking at is, you know, esports and the investors have to come to a, they have to come to the realization that, you know, we got to give them real numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's been happening so far has been pretty much things that haven't really been 100% true. They've been exaggerations, and I don't think that's good for any industry.
I don't think so either.
Because if you're going to continue to exaggerate your numbers, then your investors are going to just back away.
Yeah, and then you're going to lose it all because you weren't honest, and you get considered a bad deal eventually.
Well, you remember in our last podcast, I think I've brought this up before. I've talked about the you know, how the industry itself wants to be so authentic, but they're the ones not being authentic. You know what I mean? They're always touting about how, you know, it's so important to have transparency, authenticity, but the industry itself is less like, that's what's been frustrating me, because, you know, I've been sitting here sort of like at the top of the tower saying, in esports, saying, hey, you guys, you have to learn to be more real, give us your real numbers and stop bullshitting, because you're looking for enormous amounts of money for investment. You know? So I think that it's gotta come to a head where people are like, okay, what's the real factor here? And I think that's where we're going to be facing that music soon.
Yeah. They or we as in
the esports industry.
Okay.
Yeah.
That leads almost perfectly into, we don't talk about this for too long because we kind of just talked about it, but it's just an article pretty much talking about how the format of the League of Legends World Championship encourages steady viewership growth. And I think this is authentically as well. And pretty much the bigger picture is, it's the World Championship. Each country has their own stages of, like, qualifying rounds to get to this event. So pretty much what they're saying is, because it's such a localized event coming to this grand finals moment, each individual country is going to have their own set of fans, thus growing the actual sport in general leading up to the big event of the World Championships. So it's just pretty much explaining their whole model. And I think that is a good move too. I think that if you are trying to really showcase growth within your esports organization or your franchise or whatever, if you think on a grander scale and pull in as many people as possible, it'll be better long term. Because they haven't been going anywhere. They're still leading like the Twitch leaderboards and viewership.
Wait, who is?
Sorry, League of Legends.
Right. But you're saying their numbers have stagnated.
No, I'm saying they encourage steady viewership growth. So I'm saying that they're growing because of the events like the World Championship.
Right. Well, we discussed last time about the decline, actually, in the article in Newsweek that had the decline in the viewership. Mm-hmm. But then, that was a clarification where maybe the, you know, certain people's teams that they wanted there weren't there, so they didn't watch it. But we're not talking enormous numbers. We're talking about 350,000 viewers at the beginning of the season and about 250,000 viewers for the championship. So what is it that actually is, you know, what are the real numbers, you know? And then, you know, they have the viewership numbers and stuff. Like I said, the viewership numbers, then they have the people that actually turn out to the tournament itself. It's really coming to, it's like almost like, okay, today, what I'm going to say is that there's, and I've been saying this, that there's going to be a day of reckoning for the esports industry.
The English language broadcast alone had 6.74 million hours watched with an average of 69.78,000 concurrent viewers. So that seems like a lot to me.
It does seem like a lot. Again, they use the word, you know, concurrent. What does that necessarily mean? I mean, is it
almost like average, like they continue to watch?
Okay. All right. But then we're dealing with, like, you know, an ADHD, you know, ADHD audience. Like, they'll be on for 5 seconds and then go to a different stream. You know what I mean?
That means, like, so, existing, like, they're staying there watching it.
Okay. Yeah. But I'd be interested to find out how long they're watching for.
Me too. It says 7.37 million hours in total watched just on this.
Million hours and watched.
Numbers for all kinds of different events because it's like that whole. It's a whole qualifying.
Right, but how long were people watching on a permanent basis?
Average, it doesn't say here.
Right. Okay. So we know that people, whether there was 6 million point, whatever it was.
Yeah, what are they like? What is concurrent to them? Is it 6 minutes? Is it an hour?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to point out. So we don't know what that number is, and so we're talking about a very unclear, you know, discussion on what are the actual numbers that we're talking about.
Measures it differently.
Right. So. From conventional sponsorships and from conventional advertising and people who want to sponsor esports, they'll go in and say, oh, there was over 6 million hours watched. That makes a lot of sense to them. But then again, you know, nobody wants to watch a 15-second or 10-second commercial. So what do you, you know, how are you, where's the money that, you know, if you're going to advertise in there, Where's the return on your investment? Mm-hmm. You know, are you getting your message across? If you're just putting your label up there, you may be subliminally. Maybe you are. Maybe you're not. But like I said, the day of reckoning is going to come because even though you had 6 million hours watched or around that amount, that was just for one event, right? For League of Legends, right?
Yeah, that was
championship. So even though you had that amount of hours watched, we still have the actual viewership numbers that Newsweek reported at 250,000. So you're telling me that, I guess it's possible that 250,000 people watched or viewed it online for over 6 million hours. Or 6 million hours viewed.
I think it was, 6 million. However, I forget the number. I already closed it, but that many hours viewed.
Right. So, I mean, well, if you just did the math, it would be 6 million hours, and then divide that by 250,000, which was what was reported as the amount of viewers
What's over my head?
Okay, so now we're talking. That's 24 hours. So, how many days is the Overwatch? The League of Legends is 2 days?
I can tell you the specific dates. So, yeah, it's about 2 to 4 days, depending. The one that I just quoted was 2 days, from October 6th to 7th.
Okay, so it was a two-day championship series. 24 hours is watched per person at 250,000 people, which is what was reported in Newsweek as the amount of actual people that watched it online. So
69,000.
It comes out to around 24 hours per person. But that doesn't mean on a consistent basis. So it's 250,000 people may have watched it, you know, maybe 6 hours in the morning, 6 hours in the evening, 6 hours in the morning, 6 hours in the evening, or something. Yeah, that does seem like a lot. I don't even think a baseball game is that long.
I mean, they have like multiple matches too, so you have to really take that.
Yeah. Into account. So it's like that's so that. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, really, was somebody watching this thing for 24 hours? So you wonder. You know, 24 hours in a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so you wonder where, you know, these numbers are generally coming from. Like, it just doesn't add up. They kind of just sound a little bizarre.
I wouldn't even be able to say yes or no to that.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm just saying.
I'm inclined to believe this, but.
I'm inclined to believe it, too. I'm inclined to believe it too. Maybe Newsweek got it wrong. Maybe it wasn't 250,000. Maybe it was the 350,000 people. Who the hell knows? But that's the problem, really, is we don't know what's real, what's not. And there's so many articles out there. There's so many things out there. There's so many people. There's so much information. Mm-hmm. There's so many people putting out all kinds of things. I mean, this is what I, you know, like our last podcast, I got annoyed because it's like, you know, I don't go out there when I do an event and fudge my numbers. I try to be as honest as I possibly can based on the data that I got.
Yeah.
Because no one can build a solid foundation on smoke and mirrors.
I agree.
It's just not going to – eventually
not
people
today,
are going to –
Not today, because you always get caught no matter what.
Well, not today, not yesterday.
Everything.
Yeah, not today, not yesterday.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. So we're going to get to a point in the esports industry where I don't think esports is going anywhere. I think it's going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
But what I believe is happening here is that esports and the people involved in the video gaming industry – want it to grow faster than it is.
Yeah.
And in order for it to grow faster than it is, they want more money and more money and more money. The only way they can convince people to give them more money is if they exaggerate numbers.
Mm.
Because nobody...
Being dishonest, yeah. Because there is so much money flying around that they want it, so they're...
Well, let's put it this way. Somebody paid, these big guys, like Michael Jordan and... what's his name? Shaquille O'Neal, you know, but Robert Kraft from the New England Patriots. They're paying big money for these esports teams. So, you know, I think Kraft bought a team for $20 million. Now, $20 million today, I believe, is an overpriced amount for a team. I think it's way overpriced for a team. However, these guys are believing, and they have a good reason to believe, that in 10 years from now, that $20 million in that team could be worth $200 million.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it, you know, that's, I see that it's happening, but, you know, do I believe that right now, today, that you should pay $20 million for a team? No, I don't think that a team today is worth $20 million in any league. Mm-hmm. But I do, I mean... What would be a fair price? I don't know, $5 million, something like that. But in order for these teams to feed all their players, and that means players that are playing not only League of Legends, but maybe they're playing Call of Duty, or maybe they're playing Dota 2, or they're playing CS:GO, or they have a team. You know, they have different players for each game. They may need the $20 million. I'm going to put it to you straight. Esports is a very expensive investment, and it's a very expensive sport. I imagine, from all the equipment to feeding your teammates, to housing them, you know, to training, to all of this stuff. There's a lot of money that has to go into these teams, to finding and scouting the right, you know, the good players. So there's a lot of money that has to go into it. So if someone said, if Blizzard decided, okay, let's do a start a league and everyone has to pay in $5 million to a team, you know, it's not gonna pay for itself. I mean, the players are still going to have to be getting a part-time job as a barista or something while they're also practicing. It's not sustainable. So maybe they had to charge $20 million or something per team. But then again, maybe they don't. It's all about how, you know, you're budgeting it, what you're doing. You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe you don't house everybody at the same way. Maybe you find people who want to sponsor these players, and everybody lives in an adopted home. And then you train at, you know, the local high school. I mean, there's ways to do it, but, you know, in this country, it's either big or, you know, you go big or you go home.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that, I don't know how they could cut any corners at this point, especially with the caliber that's been set for esports teams and organizations.
Right. No, it's pretty much impossible now. You can't turn back what's already placed the momentum.
Like a baseline right now, and it's still not even good enough for some of these players. And I mean that sincerely. Like, not that they're spoiled, but some players still aren't being paid enough, aren't getting what they need. I would have to.
I totally.
I'd have to source it and like look into it, but I couldn't come up with examples.
I totally agree with you. You know, there's a lot of problems right now.
It's definitely getting ironed out.
Yeah.
If you want to close this out on kind of a fun note.
Yep.
That brings us right into, because you know, the whole Rick Fox scandal with Echo Fox. We've definitely talked about it before on here. They're pushing him out. He's suing his two partners for alleged fraud. It's a total nightmare mess. But on a happy side of that, CBS is creating a TV pilot based on Rick Fox's esports career. So it's pretty much going to be a CBS sitcom comedy where a dad who's like an ex-NBA star or whatever starts an esports team because his son is into esports. And it's going to be a whole sitcom surrounding that. And I think that's pretty interesting because it's definitely meshing esports with common TV now, with CBS running this. And I think it'll be a good thing overall, especially for young, hopeful players. It'll help parents kind of open their eyes and really educate themselves on what esports is, and maybe they can support their kids better in the future and maybe not demonize video games as much. But I want to know your thoughts on this as well.
Well, you know what? I think most of the people who are gamers, if they're into watching that show, they'll wait till it comes on demand so they don't have to watch the commercials.
I think it's going to be almost like a Big Bang Theory where it is kind of, because nerds don't watch Big Bang Theory. I mean, maybe they do, but it's a good show. Like, people like that show, but it's not like the characters in the show isn't the demographic. So I feel like esports players might not even like the show at all, but I think the common person will, and it'll help shape the industry in a brighter light.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. Yeah, I think it will. I think that it's you know, there's a lot of things that Hollywood's trying to do to grab an audience in video gaming and esports. And it's an interesting, it's very interesting. It's really bringing esports into, mainstream type medium that is, you know, you could tune in every week and, you know, it's supposed to be funny and it's got some, you know, it's a comedy and it's about this whole, you know, disaster, but it's a great way for, you know, Rick Fox to respond and for, and to, yeah, and to handle this sort of like collapse. It is kind of comical, the whole thing, but
it's like a cliche, like get pushed out of your own organization, literally like named after you. And also, right. Ironically, today is his last day there. Today's the day that he's being removed.
Right, right. So, I mean, listen, he got a tough break there. I don't think, you know, what happened there was, you know, we don't know the whole story, but, you know.
It looks bad.
It looks bad. But
I feel bad for him.
Right, but I mean, listen, you know, I think what he's doing is great because he's taking lemons and making lemonade.
100.
Why not? I mean, it makes sense, right? That's a good thing. That's great on his part. I wish him all luck. I hope the show is successful. But you know, it's an interesting sort of layout and how things are just rolling out in esports. It's very interesting and fascinating to me to watch the entire industry of esports and all these things that are happening here and there. But we always have to remember that in all the video gaming world, it's about 10% or less of the actual video gaming industry.
Yeah.
I mean, as I said, I've told people this, I have three sons. They're all gamers, but not in the sense that they're competitive gamers. One likes to play Skyrim. The other likes to play Arkham City. Mm-hmm. And the third one is a smasher. So
three totally different game types.
Exactly. Three totally different game types. One's an RPG. One's, you know, also somewhat of an RPG, but it's more of an exploratory, you know, I'm going to discover things, creative kind of concept of a game that, you know, people really can get into. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's the, you know, the more intense one is, you know, being a smasher and just, you know, doing well. And so, and you know, that's, you know, the fighting game community. But listen, out of the three, one of them is in esports, the other two are not. So if I took that as a microcosm of like the whole esports, or the whole video gaming industry, it's really sort of similar to the whole whole video gaming industry. You have a, yeah.
Gamers too.
Right. And then you have your retro gamers, there's all those different computers. Yeah, and indies and stuff. So that's what makes me so exciting to see this world of esports. So much is written about esports and so much is covered and because there's money in it. And that should be sort of a wake up call.
Like, it's that win culture. It is, yeah. Sports culture.
It's definitely competitive. It's definitely sports culture. It's definitely, you know, it's so funny because think of the video game industry as, like you were saying, like nerds and people who are sort of like, you know, they're into that kind of culture, the video gaming world.
Yeah.
But then within that culture, you have your nerd jocks.
That's esports kids.
And that's the esports kids.
People still can't believe how in shape professional gamers are. They're like, I know,
it's so funny.
They're so in shape. Like, yeah. They're normal people who exercise. Like, not everybody's a slob.
I know. It's kind of weird how people think that everybody, you know, there's still that stereotype and a lot of people are getting over it, but you know, I mean, I think I was watching something on some kind of podcast or no, it was a stream. Definitely a stream. Of somebody talking about, was it the League of Legends or no, it was Overwatch, and one of the teams had won and it was like a 75-pound trophy, but
I think it was Hearthstone
or maybe it was Hearthstone, yeah. Or they were sort of making fun of the actual players because they couldn't lift it over their heads.
Oh, I don't know what that is then, because I know recently the Hearthstone like collapsed in the winner's hand.
That's, yeah,
sweet, yeah. But yeah, so, it's too weak to hold up the trophy.
Yeah, pretty much. Funny. But listen, you know what? It's going to change. You know. I'm not saying that. You know, I just think that people have a different. You know, they still have this stereotype of gamers, but But that's all going to change. And, you know, some people don't like that jock attitude, you know. But
I'm not personally a big fan of it.
Right. But it is part of the whole culture of esports. It's a lot of smack talk sometimes. And
that's fun.
It's fun, but it can get out of hand. People get, you know. Yeah. So anyway. All right. It was great talking to you, Jen. I'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
All right. See you in 2 weeks.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.